We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How to win $500,000. That's what we're talking about this week on Stealing Bananas. I'm Ben Gretsch. You can find me on Twitter at Yards Per Gretsch. With me, as always, is Sean Siegel. And we're joined this week by Davis Matic, one of the RotoViz OGs. You can find him on Twitter at Davis Matic. You can find his great podcast. You can find his great podcast, The Takecast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find all his work over at Sports Grid. And we just wrapped up our draft in the last episode. So let's hear what we thought about it, what we thought about some of the other builds in this particular draft, and who we think has a shot to really take down the title. So our final team, it comes out with Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor at the top of our running back list. Josh Kelly, Wayne Gallman, and Justice Hill close that out. We only took five running backs. Justin Herbert's our only quarterback. We did a stack with Mike Williams and Jared Cook. Our receivers are DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, Chase Claypool, Jerry Jeudy, Mike Williams, Mecole Hardman, Elijah Moore, Henry Ruggs, and then KJ Hamler late. So we took nine guys, most all of whom are young guys that we're projecting to have their career season, their first big, huge season. I think Mike Williams might be the oldest guy on our receiving group. Maybe it's Chris Godwin. I don't know. And then our tight ends are Cole Kmet, Jared Cook, and Zach Ertz. How do you guys think we did here?
Like a B minus, I think. I think we played tight end wrong. We're really counting on Zach Ertz being traded or Cole Kmet breaking out. And it is true, and I've heard Peter and Pat make this point many times, that you can kind of get by a tight end, but that is true as it relates to winning your 12-man league. That is not true in terms of winning $500,000. Like, we really do need we need a very good Cole Kmet season or like a random 11 touchdown Jared Cook season to win $500,000.
Again, Zach Ertz, I just looked it up a minute ago, 88 catches two seasons ago, and it was over 100 the year before that.
But he is a billion, like roughly a billion. he might get cut and not be signed. Like, that's the thing, is like teams are saying they don't want to trade for him. He might be cut and not work out anywhere.
I'm going to be so excited when he winds up on some team and catches 90 balls and Davis has to realize that we got the
seventh round pick to the Dallas Cowboys.
Davis, how would you have played it differently at tight end? Because for me, and I really liked your arguments against Hockenson, and I think that that's something people need to keep in mind. A lot of volume does not equal fantasy success. It equals the entire team going for the number one pick in next year's draft, right? But when you're picking in the 12th slot, one of the many problems that you face is that if you don't want Hockenson, who fits in perfectly there at the 3-4 turn, you're really out of position for all of the rest of the tight ends. Should we have gone for Goddard earlier?
You know, I think it's just kind of one of those things where when you're picking at 12, you're just kind of at the mercy of the draft room and you just do the best that you can. Like, I don't think the answer is to take Dallas Goedert at a spot that you don't feel that comfortable taking Dallas Goedert. I don't think that the answer is reaching around on Mark Andrews. I don't think the answer is taking TJ Hockenson over wide receivers that we really liked. Like, I think it's kind of just sometimes the draft room is friendly to you and sometimes it's not. Like, not every draft is going to be a winner. I thought we did a good job with the options we were presented, but we got sniped on Trey Lance and Hunter Henry, who we both really liked. We got Mark Andrews got auto drafted, and he might have fallen to us. Like, sometimes things just happen, and the draft room was kind to us in a way, giving us Barkley and Taylor, two players we liked, that allowed us to draft all the wide receivers we liked. But yeah, it's just every draft is a little different, and the board texture, unless we would have wanted to take Hockenson, would not have been there. But for Hockenson, I think to get there in FFPC scoring, he might have to catch like 110 passes, honestly. Because what do you have been projected for yardage?
So last year Waller and Kelsey caught 105 and 107 balls, and no one else caught at the tight end position caught more than 72. So if he got 110, I think we'd be. What's that?
But they each scored double digit touchdowns.
Yeah, but just the 110 catches alone, I think we'd probably be in an okay position.
Well, keep in mind they got another game. There's another game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I didn't know that when I said that.
Yeah, I think Logan Thomas would have been an interesting pick. We part of the reason we didn't make the move at the 7-8 turn where we went Herbert Williams and Sean, as you said, sort of in context, we were split at that pick. We lost some receivers right before that pick, including Debo going two picks before us. I'm sure we all would have been very excited about that pick. Devonta Smith, one pick before us. We were split on Higbee and Thomas. Davis, you're high on Higbee. I think Logan Thomas would have been a really interesting pick there. I'm still pretty excited about his potential again this year after earning quite a few targets last year and knowing that Fitzpatrick's going to sort of add volume to that passing game, add some fun to that passing game. Thomas wasn't particularly efficient, but he did have those 72 catches I just referenced. He did have the third most tight end receptions last year. They added Curtis Samuel, but there's going to be more pass attempts in this offense this year and still not a ton of competition, I think.
I'm going to say that I really like what we did at tight end, and partly it has to do with my portfolio. I've got a ton of Noah Fant, a ton of Logan Thomas. So in terms of diversifying a little bit, which is not something I emphasize, but it's nice to get a different group of tight ends. And I like it in a team like this, where we're kind of forced to do it. When you take that running back early, you've got to be very careful about spending any pick that's not on wide receiver. Also have a lot, obviously, of Kelsey and Waller whenever they come through. And so to not be completely loaded up on those guys. And I go back to the idea of, I think that the three tight ends that we got are fantastic values there. One of the reasons why I don't like to take tight ends any lower than Gesicki is that I just don't think that they're great opportunities really to score points this season, which I think is Davis's point, is that if you're going to win the $500,000, you need to have those tight ends who really can score. I think between the three guys we have here, and I'm not really in on Jerry Cook, but I can see how that.
I'm not either. Friedman did some weird brain worm on me when he came on this whole cast, talking me into drafting Jared Cook. Because I really like Parham. I think there's a chance that Parham is Logan Thomas or Darren Waller, part three.
Yeah, I'm not in on Cook either, but you know, we have Herbert, so we got that going for us.
Look, as long as it's stacked, no one can criticize us when we talk about it later. No one can criticize a stacked team.
But I do think that the three tight ends gives us three shots. I think that two wouldn't be nearly as good. I think the three at this price is a crucial element of it, because by the time that we got to those guys, we didn't have other picks we wanted to make. Now, if James White does what you're saying, then we will regret not having him. But otherwise, I like the way that plays out. Davis, looking at those, that big long string of wide receivers after the first two, Moore, Godwin, Ben pointed out those guys need to hit for us, but maybe they don't even. Maybe we get one of those guys injured. Who do you like best? What are the scenarios you see potentially playing out from our wide receiver core?
I mean, I see big things for Ruggs. Like, I see a non-COVID offseason getting to training camp. Nelson Agholor is gone. They spent the first round pick, and they say, we got to figure out a way to get you the ball 8 times a game. Jet sweeps, bubble screens, nine routes, whatever you got to do. You use the guy that you just drafted as the first wide receiver and maybe the best wide receiver draft of all time. You don't want Henry Ruggs to become bar trivia. Like, you don't want him to become who was the wide receiver who didn't make the Hall of Fame in the 2020 NFL draft after Rager, Rager breaks out this year, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, all these guys. I also seem to be higher on Jeudy than Gretsch. First off, the fact that he ended up with 850 yards and three touchdowns last year, I actually looked it up the other day and I was surprised by that. I was like, Jeudy wasn't that good, but he was. And that offense was not very good. Cortland Sutton should be back by week one, but maybe not. That would be an accelerated timetable. That would be back before 12 weeks. There's still, let's call it a 5% chance that Aaron Rodgers has traded to the Denver Broncos, maybe less. But, you know, there is that out. And then Chase Claypool, all the touchdowns. Like, these are all, of course, the upside things. But the fact that you can tell yourself stories about seven of your different wide receivers is, like, literally the point of the exercise.
Yeah, that's very fun. And I wanted to just say I was fine with the Jeudy pick, especially because we were sort of talking about Javonte Williams. And I trust you, too. I'm not that down on Jeudy. I'll just say, like, the receivers that went after him, Sutton, we talked through that. Beckham, we talked about that a little bit too. But Robbie Anderson, Kenny Galladay, and even further down, this is where it's, like, hard for me. Tyler Boyd, Juju Smith-Schuster, Michael Gallup, LaVisca Chenault, DJ Chark, I'm not super high on, but Deebo Samuel. Those are the guys that went in the two rounds after Jeudy. There's at least five guys there that I would take over Jared Jeudy.
I really thought Chenault was going to get back, or I would have made – a little bit more of a
I would have not vetoed Chenault there.
Yeah, Chenault probably would have been a better pick there. I would have really liked to take Boyd there. I would definitely take Deebo over Jeudy too, I think. There's just, and I think Robbie Anderson in a vacuum is an easy one to like over Jeudy personally. But there's a lot of uncertainty with young players, and there's a lot of reasons that we see the long-term trends on second year guys. And I'm very comfortable swerving into that uncertainty and trusting you guys. There's in all likelihood that's going to be the one that smashes and works out really well for us, and we're going to look back and laugh at, you know, that I thought it was a terrible pick.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio21. That's RVRadio21, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give us an A because we were planning to go wide receiver to fight off this 12th slot. But then instead we drafted the players who in just a slightly different world would be the number two and number three picks in the overall draft. We get the two hero backs to give us two shots at the $500,000. And then obviously we take a lot of wide receivers from that point. Now that you've seen our team, Davis, more or less like taking those two running backs at the beginning?
No, I think that was the right thing. I think both structurally and value-based drafting-wise and unique combinations, right? This is a big tournament, having unique combinations in the playoff round. I would imagine that the combination of Saquon Barkley and Jonathan Taylor will be pretty rare because Jonathan Taylor will mostly go in the first round. Saquon will either mostly go in the first round, or if we get bad news, right, from his knee injury, then he'll mostly go later. So I feel like that is going to be a very rare combination of players.
Davis, give us a look at a couple of the other teams in the draft. Who do we have the most to fear? Who has an interesting, crazy, fun roster?
Well, I mean, the guy who drafted like 97 running backs, but can you pull up the guy who drafted the two wide receivers, the Diggs and Adams at the beginning? Because I am, from loosely following him, I think it looked like his team was very strong. Gretchen, his technology.
Yeah, I'm
supposed to be hosting the show, dude.
I'm brilliant at this. Here's the draft board. I thought I was sharing the draft board, to be honest with you. That's how little I know what I'm doing.
So guy who drafted out of 10, Diggs, Adams, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen. Don't love Thielen, but he kind of had to deal with us taking the young wide receivers in front of him. But then he gets Javonte, Mostert, Pollard. He gets Ryan Tannehill and Trey Lance. He does the young guy, Irv Smith, and the old guy, Austin Hooper combo. I think that team looks really good.
Hooper, I think, would have probably been a better – there's a lot of picks on that team that I think would have fit our build really nicely. But Hooper, I think, probably would have been the better pick than Cook, frankly. Not that he's like a great pick or anything. But, yeah, that was the team as well for me, Sean, when you just asked Davis that stands out to me completely.
So we had two teams that selected at least four running backs to start. The other one started Tyreek Hill, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Tyler Lockett, worked the QB in there. And Lamar Jackson, the guy we were hoping would make it to us at the 5-12, and then came back with Robbie Anderson and Noah Fant, the first running back there, A.J. Dillon in the 8th round, and ends up with Kenyon Drake, Philip Lindsay, Gio Bernard, James White, and Elijah Mitchell. So basically all of our targets. I feel like that's a perfectly executed zero RB build as well.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, still got Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore. I was going to say maybe not enough receivers early with just five in the first six rounds. And then, you know, you took a QB and a tight end early and start going to running back. But he still made little check-ins with Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore. That is a really good draft.
I was ready to compliment Team 3. But they needed to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Najee Harris, and they needed to go back to wide receiver instead of taking Connor and Madison. Team 3 was so close to being like a really good team. They took LaVisca early. They got Boyd, Deontay Johnson. I don't really love him, but whatever. Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb. Like that guy was really close to drafting a good team, but he really butchered it in the back half.
And he has Kelsey at the top before Najee Harris. Also took Tyler Higbee in the 8th. To Davis's point, took five receivers and didn't go back to receiver until the 16th round. Five really good receivers, but some of those other picks in the middle rounds are easy to look at and say could have probably used another receiver here or there.
I think this team out of two may have the best first five pick upside that we'll ever see.
It's a really
Christian
good
McCaffrey,
team.
AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, Josh Allen. Don't necessarily mind the upside with Kareem Hunt coming back after that. Maybe would like a little bit more in terms of upside receivers than Gallup and Cooks for different reasons. Almost the opposite reasons there. Gets Jarvis Landry, a guy that we were sort of debating and had some interest in. That also could be a fantastic team. Yep. I like a lot of the teams here. And one of the things that you do see when you have a team take a lot of running backs, as we had in this draft, is that That doesn't necessarily help the rest of the teams in terms of winning their league, since we have to compete with a lot of other very good teams. But out of this group, there are a bunch of teams that could win the whole thing.
Yeah, there's several here that are very interesting.
Man, I just am looking at that run we went on from round three to round 11, and it's just so nice taking players you really like taking good players that are all young. I was thinking, like, we really ruined the MO of our team, actually, by taking Cook and Ertz, because up until that point, the oldest player, the most tenured player in the NFL on our team was Mike Williams. He was the guy with the most NFL service time up until the point in which we took Jared Cook. It was like a 24 and under team, which you always love to see.
And I mentioned a lot that one of the reasons why I like the idea of reloading on the fly in Dynasty is that my redraft teams end up being younger than a lot of rebuilding Dynasty teams are. I think that's the way that works. I think that you get those players are more expensive next season. The theme that Ben and I are going to have next week on Stealing Bananas is projecting the 2022 draft and how that will help you win in 2021. To circle back around, tight end is maybe the position that I'm more willing to take the old guys if they're proven. I don't have a problem with taking stars. I have more of a problem, I think, with taking guys who are 27, 28, who haven't done that much and are still being looked at as breakout candidates. I think that sometimes people don't realize how old some of those tight ends are. Is that something that works in for you at all, Davis, or it doesn't matter the position? And I mean, obviously we want the young guys, but when you look at, you know, Travis Kelce is older than a lot of these other guys who are considered to be done. Now, it's apples and oranges, because when someone had a historic season last year and is very clearly physically still functional at that level, it's a different thing than someone like a Rob Gronkowski or a Zach Ertz who didn't do that last season.
So I think at tight end, I think you can say, like, literally nothing matters. Age doesn't matter. Team doesn't really matter. Like, team context doesn't even really matter, which I know makes me a hypocrite because I just used that for TJ Hockenson. But I think when you're talking about, like, breakouts, it just becomes about volume. It just becomes about, do circumstances outlay in such a way that you become a primary receiving weapon for your team as a tight end, right? The Gary Barnidge thing. Like, Gary Barnidge had played in the NFL for, I don't know, a long time, and then just circumstances had to lead 1 year to him become, yeah, he had played in the NFL. He was 30 years old, and then he showed up with a 1,000-yard, 9-touchdown season and was never heard from again. But, like, you can find loads of guys like that. Like, Dalton Schultz last season, 89 targets, 615 yards, 4 touchdowns. We'll probably never hear from Dalton Schultz again. He will be Blake Jarwin's backup, you know, whatever. But, like, that to me, at tight end, I'm caring really just about projectable volume, and that's it.
Well, Davis, thank you so much for coming on the show during this draft with us. We had some great laughs, and we made some fantastic picks as a result of your input. And it's just a real pleasure to have, as Ben mentioned at the beginning, sort of the RotoViz crew back together again for this show. Before you go, can you tell us the one guy that fantasy owners need to have in 2021? And then tell us where listeners can find you, what you're going to be doing next.
CeeDee Lamb, get him. Make sure you do drafts until you get enough of him. Take him over. Look, if you got to start taking him over Michael Thomas, do what you got to do, because CeeDee Lamb is going to be going in the back end of the first round in fantasy drafts next season, where Tyreek Hill and Steph Diggs are going. Of course, you guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. You can listen to my podcast, The Take Cast, wherever you find podcasts, and also the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. And if you just search my name on iTunes, both of those shows will pop up.
That will do it for today's special FFPC draft episode of Stealing Bananas, where we're going after the $500,000 with special guest Davis Matic. I'm Sean Siegel, and with me is Ben Gretsch, whom you can follow at Yards Per Gretsch. To keep up with our draft exploits and find out how we finish out the draft, these crucial running backs at the end, if we do take another wide receiver, who's going to be our QB2? What do we do at defensive tight end? Please subscribe to Stealing Bananas. You'll get the next episode when it releases that way. We have reached the end of our rate and review contest where you can win a 6-month subscription to RotoViz by reviewing the show and promoting it in some manner on social media. But you're in luck if you haven't reviewed the show so far, if you haven't sent out that social media shout out to Ben, to Colin Kelly at RotoViz Radio, because we're going to keep it open for one more week since we're doing the draft special this week. As always, make sure you subscribe to Stealing Signals, Ben's fantastic newsletter, which will catch you up with everything you need to know about fantasy football. And if you want my newest article on how to dominate out of the 12 slot, you can get a 10% discount to RotoViz with the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. We'll see you soon.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.